Welcome, everybody. It's great to see you this morning. Today, we're going to do a new song. This song is called Not Done Yet, and I really love it. It's a powerful song, and it talks about how God is able to do immeasurably more than we could ask or think or imagine, which is taken from the scripture, Ephesians 3:20. So it's just super encouraging. Let's sing it together.
Breaking chains right now. Around these walls, I thought but now they fall. But you have never failed me yet. Waiting for change to come.
Pray together. Holy Father, you're a God that never fails us. And it seems as though each and every day there's a test of us, a test of our faithfulness to you, a test that you will be faithful to us, and you always are. Even when we're doubting, even when we're feeling far away from you, even though we feel like we're at a dead end, you always make a way. make a way for us today. Make a way for us to worship you without any burden, nothing holding us down or holding us back. We offer that to you. We need the reminder through your Holy Spirit that you stand next to us in life. You go before us in life. When needed, you even push us forward in life. As we pray, we thank you for all that we're able to enjoy, all the blessings, how generous you are as a God, lavishing blessings upon us. We pray for those things that concern us this morning. We pray for our nation. We pray for our world. We pray for those serving you on the other side of the world. We pray for our leaders. We pray for those that are in positions of influence, that they would always use their influence in a way to increase generosity and encouragement and affirmation, inclusion, not exclusion. We also pray for our personal weight that we bring in here today. Relationships, circumstances, something in the present, something in the future, something we can't leave behind to move forward. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us the Holy Spirit so we can feel your presence, your power, and your peace. And we pray all these things in your name. Amen. Let's thank those leading us in worship this morning. And give a wave, a high five, something to everybody around. It is great to have you with us and for you to be with us on live stream this morning. I made an announcement last week about needing some tutors, especially in the area of math, and we ended up with 4 tutors from the announcement last week, so thank you very much. We do have room, especially if you're online today, we still have room for you to bring your student here on Tuesdays from 1 to 3. It's great for you as a parent to come along. The tutor will work with your student and tutor you at the same time on how to tutor your student in the particular area of study that they could use a little help with. That happens in Geneva Hall. Our next big move forward to support and encourage other people nearby, but really on the other side of the world, is Operation Christmas Child, and here's a video about that.
My name is Melody Wilson. I am the Operation Christmas Child coordinator here at Scrim Community Church. You may not be familiar with Operation Christmas Child. It is a ministry of Samaritan's Purse, where boxes like these are delivered to children around the world. Since 1993, 178 million of these boxes have been delivered. Now, these boxes are a gift, but the most important gift is what's included. They're given a brochure about the Lord, about Jesus and salvation, in their own language. They're also invited back for a 12-week discipleship program where they learn even more about the Lord, and they go home and they share this information with their families. Many churches around the world have been planted because of this ministry. Now you ask, what do I put in the box? Well, we're going to ask you to put things like hygiene products, school supplies, toys, and what we call a wow gift. This could be something like a ball or a doll or a stuffed animal, something that's really going to catch the kids' attention when they first open the box. Now, the boxes are going to be available here at the church beginning this Sunday and are to be returned by no later than Thursday, November 12th. We also are going to be addressing the COVID situation here at the church and how we're going to be doing the collections this year. So if you're not comfortable coming down to pick up boxes, we will bring them to you. If you're not comfortable doing extra shopping, we will shop for you. So you can send money here to the church. You can contact us through the church office, and I will come to get it from you. Whatever we can do to help you so that you can still participate in this program is what we want to do for you. Now, here's the information from Franklin Graham.
This year has been a pandemic year. Children are hurting all over the world. People are afraid. Families are scared. People have lost their jobs. They don't know where to go, what to do. They don't know what hope they have for the future. Well, I want every child to know that God loves them, that God has not forgotten them, and that He cares for them very much. And when you pack a shoebox and send it to Operation Christmas Child, it gives us an opportunity to give that box to a child and do it in Jesus' name. Can you just imagine the hope and the thrill and the joy when a kid opens up a lid like this and all these toys are in it? It's an incredible gift. And so I just want to say thank you. We need your help this year more than we've ever needed it because of the pandemic. It's just going to create a lot more opportunity. Thank you and God bless you. And remember, pray for the children of the world.
So we have shoeboxes for you in the back. And as Melody pointed out, if you need any help with that box, you can just make a donation, and we have a group that will go and collect everything that needs to go inside the box. They do need to be here early in November. They go to a shipping location, and then they're sent out literally all over the world. So it is a chance for you to touch someone as close as across the street, but as far as the other side of the planet. And I'd encourage you to participate.
Hey guys, it's Hannah from Alabama, and I was a part of the Squim Community Church Youth Group until I graduated high school in 2010. So I'm here today to read 2 Corinthians 9:6-14, which says this. Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, He will provide and increase your resources and then provide a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gift to those who need them, they will thank God. So two things will result from this ministry of giving. The need of the believers in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. As a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God. For your generosity to them and to all believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. And they will pray for you with deep affection because of the overflowing grace God has given to you.
Generosity. Is now a good time to talk about generosity? I ran that by a few people, and, well, they kind of pushed back to me. And they said, no, you know, I don't know if right now is a very good time to talk about generosity. With all the deep things going on, with all the challenging things going on, you know, people are a little cranky. They're a little frustrated. They're fearful. They're mad. Man, their emotions are not oriented in a positive way. And you want to talk to them about generosity? I said, yes, I want to talk to him about generosity. Well, don't you know that when people are frustrated or they feel threatened that they have a tendency to kind of hold on to everything instead of having a tendency to let go of things? I said, I want to talk about generosity because when we're frustrated, we're lonely, we're depressed, we're upset, one of the best ways to get out of that mood is to do something very positive. To do something for someone else, to do just the exact opposite of holding on to everything. Instead, give it away. Offer it up. Hand it over. Give it. Nothing changes our attitude for the positive more than the idea of giving to someone else, helping someone else, encouraging someone else, lifting someone else up. And so I think today is a great day to talk about deep generosity as we deal with our deep frustration, our deep fear, our stress, our worry, our isolation, our loneliness. Yes, giving is a counter to those things. The idea of not holding on to, but offering up, offering it out. Your giving proves the reality of your faith. Wow, my giving? I thought it was my working hard. Oh, I thought it was about going to a lot of Bible studies, learning a lot of verses. Isn't that the real proof of my faith? I'll read it again. Your giving proves the reality of your faith. Now, giving's a very important word in the Bible. Let me give you a few words. Do you think belief or faith or love or give and giving, which of those words do you think are mentioned more times in the Bible? Yeah, it's interesting to know that the idea of belief is mentioned 271 times. Prayer is mentioned 372 times. Love is mentioned 714 times. But giving is mentioned 2,152 times in the Bible. Wow. Why is giving mentioned so much in the Bible? Over belief and prayer and love. And the reason for that is our God is a giving God. It is God's nature and character to give to us, to bless us, to empower us, to impart to us. And so giving is very central to all that we do in life and all of who we are as men and women created in the image of God. See, it's not about holding in, it's about letting go, about giving up and giving out as God directs us and encourages us. We need some deep counters to the deep ways that we're feeling right now. And one of the outpouring dimensions of a deep faith is you will have deep generosity. What does deep generosity reflect? Well, number one, it reflects the fact that we want to honor God. Honor God first and foremost. 2 Corinthians 9:13. You will be glorifying God through your generous gifts. Your generosity will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. It glorifies God. It honors God when we give in His name. When we give when there is a need. And God is worthy to be glorified. He's worthy to be worshiped, isn't he? And when we're a generous person, we understand that our giving is an act of worship. It honors God. It reminds us that God has given us all that we have. And it's a great gift that he's given us. Deep generosity. Deep generosity is usually the order of the day until things get difficult. When things get challenging. When we become frustrated or off balance in our own inner being, or we look at what the stock market says. I look too, you know. And when difficulty comes, what we want to do, our knee-jerk reaction is to hang on to everything. Take care of me and mine first and foremost. What we find that as we're a worshiping, generous giver, is that God is always there. We realize that, number one, God is the one that owns everything. Have you noticed when difficulty comes, you think you're the owner of everything? No, that's mine. I worked for that. I bought that. That's mine. No, everything good that we have, the original owner of everything good that we have is God. Because he's the giver of every good thing. The earth is the Lord and everything in it. Wow. Everything belongs to God, yes. Everything good starts with God, emanates from God. And he's the owner, he's the author of everything good in our life. And so in difficult times, remind yourself that, you know, you're really not the owner, you're just a steward of what you have. And be a good steward. But don't forget that God is the owner, the author of everything good. And he is the one that has provided all of this good for us. Whatever is good and perfect comes down to us from God, James says. Comes from God. He's the owner. He's the provider. And it's true, we have a choice to honor God or not honor God when it comes to our deep generosity. And here I'm not talking just about money. Time, talent, treasure, and touch. Let's use a couple of other categories. What you say and what you do. And when it comes to what you say, are you saying things that are encouraging and helpful? Taking whatever we have and offering it to those in need. Those that need help. Those that would be a better person after encountering us because of what we're willing to give them. Honoring God. When you give to the poor and the needy, you're double honoring God. God gives to us, we give in return to him, and then we give to those around us, especially the poor and the needy. And I know you've noticed, like I have, there's more poor, more needy people around me than, well, at least in recent history. Whoever is generous to the needy honors God, worships God. Is placing God in the number one priority of their life. Yes, first and foremost, God has given you, provided for you. Yes, for your own enjoyment. But over and above, so that you can honor him. And so that you can meet the needs in the lives of other people. It is about honoring God. It's about being close to God. Wherever your treasure is, there is the desires of your heart, they will be also. Matthew 6:23. Where is your heart? Worshiping God, being faithful to God, that's a heart issue. And if we want to honor God, then we feel a closeness with God. And as we take what He's given us and we share that with those around us, what we realize is we feel a closeness to God. Why? Because we're thankful to Him for all that He has given us. See, it isn't really about anything that you own. It's about who you are. Deep generosity is about feeling close to God. You want to feel closer to God? Be a giving person. Now, many times feeling closer to God is a response of obedience first. And it's often forged in this crucible of obedience. In the beginning, I didn't tithe because I felt like it. I tithed because God told me to do it. Every time I wrote that check, I could think of all the things I could buy with that money. But I wrote that check and wrote that check and wrote that check. And I moved from it just being another bill that I had to pay to an act of worship, an obedience to God that drew me closer to God. So it's simple. If you want to feel closer to God, then give what He's given you. Remember, you make a living by what you get, but you make a life by what you give. Not only in your own life, but your partnership, your friendship, your allegiance to God. The purpose of tithing is to teach you to always put God first in your life. We do that out of obedience, but hopefully we do that out of pleasure as well. Why does God ask for 10%? He wants to know if we're going to be obedient or not. And it is an easy thing to be obedient about. You just take the check or the download you got into your account, and you just move the decibel. And then you write a check. And let me be clear, you're not writing a check to the church, you're writing a check to God, ultimately. And He does call us to support first and foremost the church that we're a part of. So thank you for that. But ultimately, it's about getting closer to God. And closeness to God is often forged in our obedience. Not only in Bible study and prayer, but in being generous, deep givers in life. Deep generosity also proves that, well, we have faith in God. We have faith in God, number one, that God will provide for us. 2 Corinthians 9:13, this is out of the Phillips translation. Your giving proves the reality of your faith. It proves the reality of your faith. I remember my older son, who's a whiz in math. He was asked to teach some other students some math in one of his elementary school classes, and he was pretty good at that. He sat with a child and he said, okay, if you have five Ninja Turtles and you take away two Ninja Turtles, how many Ninja Turtles do you have left? See, it's simple math. Simple math is that if you have something and you take away some, you have less. Not in God's economy. Not in God's economy. In God's economy, you can take away two from the five that you have, and you might just discover you have six or seven. That as you give in this direction, God downloads to you in the other direction. When we honor Him, when we want to be close to Him, when we step out in faith and be obedient to Him, and then generous beyond that in our offerings, in our service and helpfulness, well, that's the belief that God will take care of us. That's a belief in God's promises. Again, 2 Corinthians 9, this is 7 and 8. And God will make it up to you. Do you really think God will make it up to you? I think God makes up to us all sorts of generosity that we extend to other people. And we know that because when we're bummed out and we go and help someone else, who's the better for it? Well, they are, but we are too. We are too. And I believe in God's economy that God does, well, he makes it up to us in one way or another. He enables us to do things and think things and feel things, make a difference in things and in people. And we don't have less, we really end up with more. And God will make it up to you by giving you everything you need and more, so that there will not only be enough for your own needs, but plenty left over to give joyfully to others. Plenty left over. Yeah, we live in the plenty left over era. We don't know there's going to be plenty left over unless we become a deep, generous giver. And I'm like you. I want to kind of make sure everything's going to be okay in a very human, from a very human point of view. But there have been those moments where God has challenged me to go beyond the easy giving. And again, I'm not just talking about money. Time is a big commodity today, isn't it? Leaving your house, well, that's an adventure, isn't it? And so when we have negative feelings, when we feel that we're in difficult times, we want to gather up instead of give away. And to do that is to demonstrate that you believe in a God that will take care of all of your needs. And He'll not only take care of all of your needs, but you'll end up with more than you thought. I have ended up in my life with more than I have ever thought. More than I could imagine. And it has encouraged my wife and I to be more and more generous. More and more giving of our time, talent, treasure, and touch. Why do I believe that? Because God is a promise keeper. And He says if we will be faithful and obedient to Him in our generous giving, that we will not go without what we need. In fact, not only that, you'll have not only enough, so to speak, to eat for dinner, but enough to invite some other people to come. We want to honor God. We want to feel close to God. We want our relationship with God to be one based upon faith in God. And then finally, deep generosity is always rewarded. It's rewarded here in this life, and it is rewarded in our life to come in heaven. Here on earth, Jesus says, there is more happiness in giving than there is in receiving. And isn't that true? Now, I don't mind receiving. It's always nice to be on the receiving end of things. But what a great opportunity to give to someone else, to do something as simple as show up for 2 hours and tutor some children. That's giving of our time and our talent. And kids are a little out of sorts as well, so your presence and touch, so to speak, with them is a very reassuring thing. That yes, more people in this world care about me than just my mom and my dad, or just my dad, or just my mom, or just my grandparents. God wants to use us in a powerful way. And he rewards us for that. Make the most of every opportunity. Are you making the most of every opportunity? That's a big challenge to us in this time. Things aren't perfect, but are we making the most of the opportunity? Not everything's going our way, but are we making the most of the opportunity? Are we waking up in the morning and are we praying to God, Lord, give me eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart and soul to feel and hands and feet that can go and make a difference in someone else's life? That prayer is a prayer that the Holy Spirit honors. And in every day that we pray that prayer, because we prayed it, we'll see that opportunity. We'll hear the Holy Spirit go, them, them. We'll hear the Holy Spirit say, not later, now. That's always the Holy Spirit, right? Oh, I'll get to that later. No, you need to do it now. Why? Because there's a blessing in the moment, a reward in the moment. I'm going to read the first part of 1 Timothy 6:19 in a second. Here's the second half. And they will be living faithful Christian lives down here as well. See, being a faithful Christian is a very positive thing. Some people think, oh, that's an awful thing. That's a limiting thing. That's an exclusive thing. God invites us. He says, you live out your faith faithfully and just see, you will be blessed and you will be a blessing to others. It will give you a greater happiness on this earth. It will give you meaning and purpose, not only in the moment, but a meaning and purpose that carries with it eternity. Sending boxes to children at Christmas time on the other side of the world, it carries an eternal dimension. An opportunity for someone that has not heard the gospel that makes all the difference in the world. And all the difference as we find ourselves facing the greatest challenge of a human being, our own mortality and death. Yes, it makes a difference. In fact, we make an eternal difference in the present, when we are deeply generous to other people. And don't forget, you will be rewarded in heaven. I wish the Bible talked more about what the rewards would be. Here's the first half of 1 Timothy 6:18 and 19. Use your money to do good. Always be ready to share with others whatever God has given you. By doing this, you will be storing up real treasures for themselves in heaven. It is the only safe investment for eternity. That gets us thinking, what are we investing in? What is worthy of our greatest gift? And it's true. You'll never take it with you, but you can send it ahead. Because your giving in the name of Jesus Christ always carries with it an eternal dimension. And God says, you think you're rewarded now, wait till you get to me. Luke 16:9, I tell you, use your worldly resources to benefit others and make friends. In this way, your generosity stores up a reward for you in heaven. Deep generosity. It really is all about our relationship with God. Deep generosity reflects that we really do, first and foremost, want to honor God for giving us everything we have, every good thing. And it's true. Oftentimes that's forged in obedience to Him, like tithing. We want to be closer to God. And you know, we're more like God in the moments of our giving than any other time. Why? Because God is a great giver. He's not a stingy God. He's a great, generous God. And when we emulate Him, we draw closer to Him. And it's true. You're going to give something away. You're going to live a little more by faith. But I know the promises of God, and God is a promise keeper. He will take care of me. And then finally, I like the connection with someone when I give to them. And I give to honor God, but I also give to just honor them and feel good that I'm able to meet a need that someone else has. And that will be rewarded not only in that moment, but I know when I get to heaven, we're going to show up there and God's going to go, atta boy, atta girl. Way to go. You weren't all about yourself when you felt difficult and bad and frustrated and fearful and stressed and depressed. See, what you did in that moment is instead of gathering it in, you gave it away. And look what I was able to do with your gift, your generosity, your help, your compliment, your encouragement. See, it's true. You make a great difference in this world. And the greatest difference you'll ever make will be in and through your deep generosity in God's name. Let's pray. Father, first, we thank you for all that we have. We know that you're the owner, the author of every good thing that we have, and we're thankful that you are a great provider, that as we seek your agenda and your kingdom first, you have been a great God and you've added all of these things that we need to our life. And not in a stingy way, in an abundant way, so that there's plenty for us and some to give away and encourage someone else, help someone else with. God, we want to honor you. We want to feel close to you. We want to step out on faith today. We thank you that we don't even have to wait to eternity for you to reward us and bring blessing to us because we desire to bless others. Bless us more that we can be a bigger and better blessing to others. And we pray all these things in your name. Amen.
No hidden treasure veiled by key or lock. You're a lifetime worth of worshiping that's only just a start.
All I own, you can have it all.
broken at your feet. And every breath is an offering. My heart cries, these lungs sing over you, my worthy King of Kings.
Yes, Jesus, you are worthy. You're worthy of all honor, all glory, and all praise forever. And Lord, we really want to say that and really mean that with our hearts. We want to give you our hearts, all our souls, all we own, because you are worthy of being trusted. And you've given us more than we can never repay you for everything you've done. So we just say thank you, Lord. We love you. Bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, it's been great to be with you guys this morning. Isn't it encouraging that God is worthy of all we own, and he wants us to trust him with that? So the Lord bless you as you walk out deep generosity this week. We'll see you next Sunday.